The views shared in this program are those of the speakers and may not necessarily reflect the beliefs of Lion and Lamb Ministries. We're honored to walk with you in the pursuit of Scripture and faith in Yeshua the Messiah. Thank you for viewing our program.
Shalom, everyone. I'm Monty Judah with Lion and Lamb Ministries. Welcome to the Lion Share, where we learn about other ministries, other organizations, and what God is doing with them all around the world. When our team was at the NRB convention down in Dallas earlier this year, one of the most interesting people that I had the privilege of interviewing was a filmmaker and a biblical historian. His name is Tim Mahoney. Tim had shared with us how he became a documentarian and about the history of the Bible. One of his films he made in particular is called The Patterns of Evidence, which is a series about the ancient Exodus out of Egypt. And I found that to be utterly fascinating, being a Torah teacher myself. Here is the trailer for that film that I think will show you more about that.
I don't believe there was a single event that we can call the Exodus.
This person can't have seen all this. He imagined it.
So far, there is no documented evidence about the Exodus.
Exodus did not happen in the way that it is described in the text.
How can we prove that?
You look for a collapse in Egyptian civilization, and that's where you'll find Moses and the Exodus.
If we can prove there even was an Exodus,
telling us that there was no Jericho at the time that Joshua conquered the Promised Land, and therefore Joshua is a piece of fiction, and therefore the conquest is a piece of fiction, why don't we ask the simple question, when was Jericho destroyed?
Do you think this is Joseph?
Either it is Joseph, or it's somebody remarkably the same.
We have tombs that are clearly those of foreigners, Semites. We can tell this by the pottery, by the kind of weapons. These are non-Egyptian type daggers. They have donkeys in some cases buried with them. This was not an Egyptian practice.
This is real evidence for the time when the Israelites were in Egypt as slaves.
We were slaves? Why? I mean, if you're gonna dream up a story, surely you'd come up with a better one than that.
Look at your evidence and come to a conclusion based on the evidence.
Why is it that we've never heard of these finds?
Because in the scheme that's used by scholars to date all these events, they're way too early.
We may be wrong 10 years here, 10 years there, but there's no way, you know, to shift centuries.
Because it would undo a lot of their books, wouldn't it?
Moses, yes.
Patterns of Evidence, the Exodus.
Tim's filmmaking journey is a fascinating story, and I think you'll enjoy hearing about him and his work. Here's my interview with Tim. Shalom, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Lion's Share, where we learn about other ministries and other folks in the faith that are doing different things that increases and edifies all of us. And I have a very special guest with me today, Tim Mahoney. Many of you probably don't know him personally, but you may know of his handiwork that he's done. He's a filmmaker, used to be doing a bunch of commercials.
That's right.
But now he got into documentaries and filmmaking, and he's the guy responsible for the series called The Patterns of Evidence, in which he's looked at some of the biblical events and looked at, you know, putting together a film that explains it in a visual and explanatory way. And I'm absolutely thrilled to have you, brother, as
well,
a Torah
you.
Teacher, teaching on those very things, how you can take and make visual a lot of things that I'm trying to just verbalize to the brethren out of the Bible. So I applaud your efforts and have enjoyed some of your films already. And so tell us, how in the world, what possessed you to start making biblical films about the biblical stories, particularly the ancient biblical stories?
You know, I think that I loved history, but I had no clue. And when I was in, I grew up in a broken home. And so my mother had a family devotions, you know, at night. So I, from the time I was a child, you know, we read the Bible at night. So I went through, you know, the type of Bible storybook that you would have, you know, is very dear to me. And then just page after, you know, page after page. So as a child, I was trained hearing the stories of the Bible. Number one. Number two, my father was a police officer, but he had a very difficult childhood. His mother died with him at home, and he was alone with a little sister, and he had to see the trauma of that. Then he was molested, and he had a lot of,
trauma from that.
Yeah, and then he went into the military, and he was at Pork Chop Hill in Korea, and he survived that. And then he went to the police force, and it was difficult, and then he went to the highway patrol. So my dad had times of great outburst of anger where he actually threatened to kill my mother, and she thought he'd kill our family. So I tell this backstory because people say, well, why was it so important for you to investigate the stories of the Bible? Well, my mother, I remember, I can still feel the sofa as we were on our knees around my mom. My mom was here. I was, you know, around her crying out to God for protection. I remember that. It almost makes me want to cry right now thinking about that.
That's very serious.
So my mother depended upon this God of the Bible. So when I got involved with this, I thought, well, this is exciting. I'm going to go search in 2002 for the evidence of the Bible. And I didn't think that would be a problem until I got to the Middle East and people started telling me, oh, there's no evidence for this. And
right. There's
all this conflicting information.
Yeah.
And I won't get into it. Tumar, as far as the time that we have, but I had a crisis of faith in the midst of that.
Okay.
For the first time, my faith was shaken because people said there's no evidence. And then God, in a miraculous way, if they look at a movie called The Journey Home that we have, if they go to patternsofevidence.com, right. patternsofevidence.com, they can find all of our films. And The Journey Home is a testimony of what happened, how this came about.
Okay.
And we tell the story in that film. The testimony of how we got to where we are today as a filmmaker, my wife and I, and the others that have joined us. And so I think that I was called to do this, even though I didn't understand it at the time.
Yeah.
And there were times when it was very difficult because it didn't seem to make any sense. And I think that's the way it is for some of us. We don't know what God is doing because he might have a bigger plan.
Right. Well, you know, the archaeology world has basically dismissed the biblical record. Particularly Egyptian history. They don't want to talk about Israel being captive down in their land because, by the way, the story didn't turn out so good for Egypt out of that one. And they don't want, history is about, I want to tell my story of the history. And so we know that's always been a problem. And biblical archaeology in this generation has emerged, really, for the first time since Israel, you know, has become a nation. But so I was utterly fascinated to hear about your efforts, the investigation you've done, and digging out the experts you could find to help substantiate some of these more stories of antiquity.
Yeah, you know, what's happening is that there have been people that have said there's evidence, and these are people who are not believers, but they are afraid to tell other people that
right. Because
there is a overall dismissal of anything biblical. And it's almost like an agenda. So I started these interviews with different people who are secular archaeologists, and they would say privately, on camera, they would say, oh, this didn't happen, and this didn't happen. And then we turned the camera off and goes, so what did you find? Yeah, do you think that's it? You know, they were completely different.
Yeah.
And then they started, then I got some more honest ones where they said, oh, you know what? We talk, the one professor, Yuri Zarens, he said, I'm about ready to retire. I don't care anymore. I'm not worried about it. And yes, we all say this is connected to the Bible. This is related to it. This matches that.
Right.
He says, but we couldn't say it before because it would be possible that we would lose our positions at our colleges.
Right.
So there you go.
So there's a couple of really key parts in the story of antiquity that you've worked on, not only
the existence of the children of Israel in the land of Egypt, but crossing the Red Sea, getting out of there, Moses writing the Torah, putting together, where in the world is Mount Sinai, and what's going on with that? So you pretty much covered that whole spectrum at some point or level on that.
Yes, and what happened was, the second film that I made, I wanted to deal with the problem, because we're going to use the Torah as a roadmap, and we're going to look at what Moses wrote. People say, well, you can't believe that because he didn't write it, because of something called higher criticism.
Yeah.
And so I said, well, what I found out, I decided, and a pattern of evidence film basically looks for the scientific approach. So that's what science says. You know, let's have a hypothesis. Let's see if we can find a pattern. So what does the Bible say? Can we find the pattern? Can we find a place that matches it? And what are the locations? Is there evidence for that? What time in history did it happen?
Yeah.
And so we're dealing with questions of chronology, which is the timeline of history.
Right.
You know, and if you can find the pattern, that will help you determine, you know, maybe that actually happened earlier in history or where it happened.
Right. Exactly. What time frame?
Right. And so at the Exodus film, some people say, well, the Exodus happened in, 1250. And the Bible says, well, no, it happened at more 1450 time period.
Right.
So it's 200 years difference. So so some people would say the Exodus that did not happen had to have happened at 1250. And so the dating is the challenge. Now, if we go back to the writing of the Torah, the second film we made was called Patterns of Evidence, the Moses Controversy. So what is the controversy? Did Moses write the books or not? Then the first question is, what did he use to write? Was there a writing system available? And that is what the investigation was. And what we find out is that the earliest form of alphabetic writing shows up in the Sinai, and it shows up possibly in the area where the Israelites were in the first film.
The question of Moses' ability to write the first books of the Bible led me to the ancient lands of the Middle East, searching for patterns of evidence that match the biblical events.
The Lord said to Moses, write this in a book.
He would have written in Egyptian, probably, if he had written, not Hebrew.
Did Moses write the Torah? Frankly, I don't think so.
I don't think any mainstream scholars would any longer hold that view.
I think it comes from Moses himself.
The words that they wrote, many of them can be deciphered. Those are Semitic words.
I can read it. This etching, this inscription somewhere in the Sinai desert is actual plain biblical Hebrew.
It's not just a matter of historical curiosity. Well, Moses wrote these books and not some anonymous figure. It is that Moses is the chosen man of God.
We look at the alphabet and why it's genius. Everyone takes the alphabet for granted. But that film, to me, is profound.
Yes. It,
because now we have a reason for, or a way for God to communicate to us.
Right.
And then the book of John says, in the beginning was the
Word.
And the Word was?
With God.
And the Word was?
God.
So words are important.
Very important.
But in order to know a word, you have to have an alphabet.
Exactly.
And that, I believe, that there's a connection between the gift of the alphabet and God's word. So the revelation of the alphabet is absolutely profound.
One of the things that is very enjoyable for me to teach about the Torah when we get back to Hebrew scriptures is getting back to those word pictures that are in single letters and in words where the primal root, where it actually is a picture that is the definition of the word.
Yeah.
And it is very sophisticated. It is very well thought out. And it's very explanatory, and it really communicates a lot of information. And you're exactly right. God decided to, for the all of our benefit, to come up with some way to take that testimony, get it down in written form, so it could make its way to all the different generations.
Right.
Yeah. And here we are.
Right.
As recipients of that.
And I know that we talk, Jewish people talk about oral tradition, but I believe that there was a reason why he gave the word and it was written down. I think that so we can sort of codify it, as it were, that yes. we have it. And it also, Moses was told the Israelites to take these words and write them on your doorposts. And on, teach them to your children, you know. And well, some people say, well, that's just, that wasn't real. That, you know, they couldn't write them because they didn't know how to write. Well, this second film shows that they actually had the ability to write.
Yeah. I really think that we, in the latter generations, we're a little smug. We think we're the enlightened ones, and all of the people in history and antiquity, they were dumb. They couldn't do what we do. And that we're the enlightened ones. And the problem is that as we go back and do a little more research, we find out those people were pretty sophisticated back there. They did some very interesting things.
Yeah.
That in some cases, like, we're not quite sure how they even did it.
Yeah.
Some of the stone structures of the cities and so forth had been done. The story of Noah's Ark, you know, constructing yeah. that floating platform that survives yeah. the flood.
Yeah.
Besides the other things the children of Israel did in dealing with Egypt and all that Egypt was and how it was built, there was a lot going on back there that we don't give them a lot of credit for.
Yeah.
When in truth of fact, there's more than sufficient evidence, in my opinion. And I think some of it, to me, is self-evident in just reading the scripture and asking the simple question, now, how could they have gotten that? You know, you can begin to open up with the right questions to do the research.
Yeah.
And the part I really like about your effort is that you take those natural questions in the scripture, and then you pursue them and find reasonable, simple answers.
Yeah.
And that's, to me, that is the beauty of some of your work that you've done.
What's happened in my own life is that when you have a question and you allow the people who don't believe the Bible is true to give their answer, and then you hear other points of view, what ends up happening is that people go, wait a minute, that's their answer?
Yeah.
That's not a very good answer.
Yeah.
And so I remember saying to a gentleman who was raised in a Christian home, and I said, so, you know, there's consequences for not believing this. He goes, yeah. So, you know, there's, and I think we have to remember that there are consequences. You can ignore this while you have some time here, but there's coming a time when that ignoring is not going to be able to get, going to stand up. There's going to be a time, says that there's going to be a time when we all die and, you know, we face the judgment.
Right.
And I think we forget that. I think that there was a, I just been thinking about this the last several days. There's a point where the fear of God is the beginning of what?
Wisdom.
Wisdom.
Yeah.
You know, and some people can love God, but they have no fear of God. So they are basically in a somewhat of a dangerous place. But if you are ignorant of what happens to the past, people that didn't fear God,
right.
You're not going to basically understand why it might be healthy for you to have a little more fear of God. Yeah, God loves you, but there is accountability.
Right.
And it says that every person's going to stand, you know, before God in the future.
He is a just God. And he's not necessarily going to be fair according to our standards. He is going to be just.
Yeah.
And so that's a sobering thought in and of itself. Look, I want to get to this other part that you've got going on here, the Israel Dilemma 2. Tell me about that. That's your latest thing you're working on?
Right. So we've been working our way through the Bible, and the Israel Dilemma is a film that is new, and it happened because of October 7th. Okay. You know, when that happened and how everyone reacted, I go, wait a minute. I had these interviews from 2007 with Benjamin Netanyahu and Shimon Peres, Natan Sharansky, and we're talking about, you know, that Israel's been in this battle at different times with different, neighbors.
Yeah.
And I said, we need to ask the question, who are these people? Where do they come from, this nation of Israel? And that's when we came up, you know, thinking about it, that the Israel Dilemma would probably be the right title for it. Because, you know, Israel has a dilemma internally. Christians might have a dilemma. The world has a dilemma. The neighbors, you know, there's this dilemma because it exists. And why does it exist? Who called it into existence? And it goes back to Mount Sinai. It goes back even to Abraham, you know, and Abraham is the father of these three religions, you know, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, that they attribute back to him. They're all looking to him.
Yeah.
And so here we are today, and we've got this nation that is in battle, you know, at times with neighbors. And what is its reality? Because many people on college campuses think that Israel is an evil nation. Are they?
But your name shall be Abraham.
I also antagonized a lot of people by recognizing the state of Israel as soon as it was formed.
Where is your title to the land? He said, he held up the Bible. He said, here's the title. You don't lose your right to your home because somebody kicked you out.
The Torah came before the land. It's not by accident.
Patterns of Evidence Foundation presents.
The covenants are what holds the storyline together.
A film that asks if God made a covenant with the children of Israel.
God's covenants are everlasting. There will be other things disappearing from the natural cosmos before I break my covenant. I will never break my covenant.
The God of Israel cares about all human beings, and therefore in the caring for Israel, he's expressing his love and concern for all humanity.
What evidence remains today?
Well, David is part of the history of early Israel, which has been maligned for some time because there was not solid archaeological evidence. That's all changed in the last decade.
Debate rages over the truth of biblical prophecy.
So they collect all these traditions, stories, myths, theological stories, and so on. We are dealing with the traditions.
The scriptures predict events hundreds, sometimes thousands of years off into the future, and they do so with a reliability that is breathtaking.
What will the pattern reveal?
If they break the covenant,
yes,
there are consequences.
That's right. Before you get out of the Pentateuch, the whole basic plot line is there.
Patterns of Evidence, the Israel Dilemma.
How could you read the Bible and come up with that conclusion?
Well, that's the point, is they don't read the Bible.
Right.
They don't believe in the Bible. The colleges, if you are a freshman going to a college, they're going to basically discount the Bible. And there's some scholars and teachers that's their aim. If there's any Christianity in you, right, they're going to want to drive it out of you as a ridiculous fallacy. But we're living in a different time right now. Some things have shifted, and I think this is a great opportunity. What God has given us an opportunity here like we haven't seen for a while, you know, with the change of things. It seems like people are more receptive at this time that there is a God, yeah, and that something's going on, and there's a hunger. And by the way, young people today are very, very lost. And I think they don't know what to do. They don't know what to do with their lives. They don't know where meaning comes from.
Right.
Because we've stripped all that away.
Right.
The culture has.
Yeah. Going back to, you know, the educational community going out and taking the 18 and 19 year olds and tell them that God isn't right and the Bible isn't right and so forth. I had one opportunity to speak with one of those professors once. And I said, you know, I really put you in the category of being a bully. You pick on a little kid. Why don't you pick on somebody your own size like me?
Yeah.
Why don't you and me have a conversation?
Yeah.
And I'll point out the fallacies of your thinking.
Yeah.
You know, as you point out the fallacies of what grandma taught the grandchild.
Yeah.
You know, and so forth. And I guess that's my attitude. And, of course, I don't have to deal with it quite like you do. I just get to stand up and teach scripture.
Yeah.
You know, and so forth. But I certainly understand the identity problem. You know, where in the world did we come from? Where in the world did Israel come from? Who are these people that are over living in this part of the world? And how in the world did we get here?
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
And I think that when I was about 6 years old, I woke up on a Saturday morning and I was just coming out of sleep and I saw the foot down here and I go, whose foot is that? And then I realized it was my foot.
Your foot.
My foot. And I actually filmed that scene with my grandson. And then I realized, where did I come from? My first sense of existing. Yeah. And I think what happens is the culture is very noisy right now. And people don't want silence. I don't know if you know that, but people go to coffee shops just to be with other people, just to sit there, because they don't want to sit at home. They all have a kitchen table, probably, but they don't want to be at their kitchen table. They want to be around somebody.
Right.
They want, yeah. Because sometimes silence is scary for people.
Loneliness can be real bad for some
right.
people.
And if you're in a coffee shop, at least you're not alone.
Right.
You know, and there's a lot of people that sleep with the TV on and anything. We're living in a time when people are hurting, and loneliness is an enormous problem. And so the patterns of evidence films, for some people, help to start filling in the past to basically say there is a God. He is active in history. And that's the reason why people are using them. And they're good gateway films to start the dialogue, because you say, hey, I want to show you this movie. It's not like I'm taking you to church or to synagogue or wherever. I'm going to show you this movie about this, and let's talk about it. And they're fairly neutral.
Well, I can tell you this, and that's part of the reason I kind of like your films, is me being a Torah teacher, going through and systematically teaching the Torah.
Yeah.
When I get some people that watch some of your films, all of a sudden they get real interested in what I have to say about yeah. what the scripture says.
Yeah.
And so they really play off of each other, and they work well.
Yeah.
You know, again, some people learn by visual as opposed to audio, and the work that you've done on it, particularly the way you back up and confirm things, it's compelling.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes hand in hand with the compelling scripture itself.
Well, thank you. And, you know, I guess I would say that I had no idea. You started this interview by saying, well, what in the world possessed you to do all this? And I think I share with you that my own family was at a crisis. The reason why I think the word of God is helpful is it's testifying that God is active. And I believe that God is active, and that when you pray, he hears your prayers. And the Bible is filled with people calling out to God. And it's also filled with stories of people who rejected God. And so it's a way to give you the story to understand our place in the world. We know there's a beginning. We know we're here now, and that there's a future.
Correct.
And I think that there's a lot of people who don't know any of that.
Well, I'm curious, have you gotten any feedback from maybe some people who were truly in the skeptical category and then suddenly saw your films? Have you gotten any feedback where it moved them off a dead center, so to speak?
I have. I actually had, I'll give you two stories. We have a person by the name of Logan. And Logan was a person who didn't believe anymore. He was in a punk rock band. And just wild, and he started to see my films, and it just ripped him. And he came back to the Lord, came back to faith, and he now works for me.
Oh, okay.
He's a testimony. And the other
so
one
he
was
really is a disciple.
Yes, and the other one was a person who was going to commit suicide, and he was sitting at home, and he was going to take and commit suicide, and he thought, I'm going to watch one movie before I die. And he went on to search for a movie, and he found Patterns of Evidence. And he found the Moses Conference. And he watches it, and he goes, what? This is evidence that God's true and real. And then he found another movie. And then he basically sent us an email and said, I was going to take my life, and I really know that God is
a very dramatic testimony.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody's alive today because of it.
Yeah.
Wow. Incredible. So what besides this, what else are you thinking about doing?
We're working on
in the future for you?
Right now, we're working on another evidence of God working in history, and it's called The American Miracle. And if people go to AmericanMiracleMovie.com, this movie's coming out June 9th. It's evidence of God acting in the nation. Michael Mevitt wrote a book called The American Miracle.
Yes.
And we have made that into a film. This is the biggest film I've ever worked on. And it's a timely film for right now. It's about God's providence in the past. And it's a warning. I think it's a film of a warning to basically say, you got to wake up, America. We've got people like Pat Boone and Kevin Sorbo are in it. Nicole C. Mullins is in it. And great scholars. And Richard Dreyfuss is in it.
Really?
As Richard Dreyfuss.
Yeah.
And there's it's a docudrama heavily on the drama.
Okay.
And once again, this is a Vote for America type of film. AmericanMiracleMovie.com. You can get updates. And so.
Wow. Absolutely fascinating. It's such a treat to meet you, Tim.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, for the work that you've done in the past. And it's been very supportive of what I do in my ministry. And I look forward to your future projects and what else you're going to be doing.
Well, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And folks, this is another example of God is at work in the lives of many other people. And we need to understand that our God is a lot bigger than just us. He's involved with lots of folks. So, Tim, you know, Lord's blessings on you. Great success and prosperity to you.
Thank you very much.
All right. You're welcome.
It was a great opportunity for me to get to meet and speak with Tim, the filmmaker. And these films have truly made an impact on biblical history and helping others to understand it. You can watch these films at Tim's website, which is patternsofevidence.com. Let me repeat that again, patternsofevidence.com, or on YouTube. And keep watching for his new film that is about to come out, The Miracle of America. So thanks for joining us for another edition of The Lion's Share. I hope you enjoyed. Shalom to all of you.